Welcome to Wisdom with Trish. I'm Trish, I'm your host. I'm a mom to 6 kids. I've been married to my sweetheart for 28 years. And I'm a life coach. But most of all, and why we're all here, is I spent 30 years chronic dieting. Yep. Most of my life, I've spent trying to be in a smaller body. And this podcast is about my journey to turning to God and trusting Him to not diet anymore. I found a path of health and a path of loving the space I take up in the world. And I'm here now to help other women do the same. So I'm so glad you're going to join me on the journey. All right, here we go. A couple things before we get started. I would like to read one of the reviews that someone has written about this podcast on iTunes. This review was written by Sumner Mama, and she says this: "These podcasts are so good. Listening to the podcast has not only helped me to see things in an honest light, but it has helped me to see how I need to love myself more. It's helped me to begin the process of rewriting the manuscript in my mind about how I feel about myself and how I treat myself. I have found that I am digesting way too much of what the world thinks of my size than the value and reality that I get to take up space in the world and that my body has gotten me through some of the most amazing and trying times. It has never let me down, and for that, I get to offer up more mercy and grace. Listen to Trish. You won't regret it." Thank you, Sumner Mama. That just is so beautiful. I'm so glad you're on the journey of reconnecting with your body and making it your friend again. I hope that that's what everyone is getting from the message here at Wisdom with Trish. If you would like to have your review shared here on the podcast, go and write a review on iTunes. I would love to hear how the podcast is influencing your life and share your thoughts, and I'll share them here. All right, the second thing I want to talk about is I have a private Facebook group, and I would love for you to come join. There we have women, and you can join if you're a man too, but we have a group where we encourage and help each other, and I would love for you to come join and that I can get to know you there better than I can here on the podcast. So come check it out. All you do is go to Wisdom with Trish, my Facebook page, and there's a link up by my picture that says join this group or something like that. You'll see it. So come join. I would love to get to know you better. All right. I think you're going to love today's podcast. Episode 32, interview with Jane Birch. Here we go. Hello, hello. All right, everyone. I'm super excited about our podcast today. So let me tell you a little bit about when I first started eating plant-based and I started connecting it to the word of wisdom, I felt very alone. Like I thought, am I like the person in the world, the only one in the world that has connected these two things? So of course, what do? We like go to Facebook and we start like typing things in to see if anyone else in the world is doing what we're doing. And I found a group, and it was a word of wisdom group. And I didn't really know too much about the group and all the people there and what, like, I didn't understand all of it, but I knew that these people were eating plant-based and were connecting it to the word of wisdom. Well, now today, you probably all heard me talk many times on this podcast about a group on Facebook that I'm a part of that's called Discovering the Word of Wisdom, Surprising Insights from Whole Food Plant-Based Perspective, which is a book. And all these people have read this book, and it's kind of like a book club support group kind of thing. Well, I was part of this group, had never read the book, but I was just so happy to find my people. So I'm on there, and then I figure out, oh, all of these people have read a book. So the book was
The same as the name of the group, Discovering the Word of Wisdom, Surprising Insights from a Whole Food Plant-Based Perspective, and it was written by Jane Birch. And Jane Birch is the person that kind of moderates this group. And so I've been part of this group since the beginning of my plant-based journey, which was over 2 years ago. And it's been such a blessing to me. And I think many of you have gone, if maybe you're already part of it or you went and found it after I've talked about it here on the podcast. But I've wanted to interview Jane for a long time. And I'm so excited that today is like the day. I'm having a little bit of like starstruckness a little bit. So hopefully I get to have my like thoughts about me, because Jane has just been such an important part of my journey, and I'm sure she has been for so many people. So I'm super excited to have her here today. So Jane's here, and Jane, I'm so grateful that you're here and willing to chat with me today.
Well, I'm really delighted to be here. I mean, you make me giggle. You're so lively and excited, and I feel starstruck getting to appear on your podcast.
That's cute, Jane. today we're going to talk about lots of things. And I actually asked some of my listeners to send me some questions. So we're going to cover some questions that some of you out there have had. But first, I really want to start with, Jane, I would love to hear your story of, I've read your book, so I know the story. But anyone that's listening that maybe hasn't, I would love for you to share how you started eating plant-based. Like, you know, what did you eat before? And what drew you to eating this way? And then how did you figure out that it was about the word of wisdom?
Well, great. I'd love to tell you. I had no intention, zero intention of ever going plant-based in my life. In fact, after I went plant-based, I discovered that literally everyone in my family had gone plant-based at one time or another, at least an experiment, if not long-term. I'm the oldest of 9 kids, so my parents and all my siblings apparently had tried it. I had never tried it. It didn't sound interesting to me. I liked eating meat, and why would I not eat meat? So this just never crossed my mind. But there was a little turning point, and this took place in 2011. So let me just mention briefly something that happened that very same summer. So I have been struggling with some pain in my legs and for literally 10 years, and it had been really quite distressing. At some points I felt quite crippled, and I had seen many doctors and health specialists, alternative people, trying to find answers, and I couldn't find anything. Well, in July of 2011, I finally got a correct diagnosis, which was I was diagnosed with developmental hip dysplasia. It's a congenital order. So I was born with it. And the recommendation was radical hip surgery. So that really was what was on my mind that summer. I did not want to have surgery. I really was upset that this was the answer to my 10-year quest. And so all of my thoughts and efforts and research were going into trying to figure out what I could do except for having surgery, or did I really need this? Then, exactly 1 month to the day that I was diagnosed, I woke up early and I went to the living room. A friend was sleeping over and she was watching CNN. Normally, I never have the TV on. I mean, never. But she has CNN on, and there's a show there called, it was actually not the show itself, but it was a preview for a show that was going to be on CNN. Dr. Sanjay Gupta was talking about the last heart attack. And he was talking about a heart attack proof diet. And even though I didn't really have any high risk factors for heart disease, I was well aware that it was the number one killer. And I thought, I should, you know, this is kind of interesting because they're saying here that we could eat in such a way as to literally prevent most heart disease. And I thought, this is really kind of interesting. And to tell you the truth, it seemed a little squirrely, but I thought, yeah, there's enough here that I really think there might be something here. Maybe I should look a little bit into this. So that morning, after my friend and I had a very wonderful omelet breakfast, I sat down at my computer and I did some research. And the more I researched, the more I realized this really smacked of truth. The clinical research, the scientific research, and of course the testimonials, other things about it, it just rang of truth to me. And I thought to myself, I think this is the way humans are supposed to be eating, because it not only prevents heart disease, but most of the other chronic diseases as well. Just in my heart, I was sold. I thought, I think these diseases that I always thought were inevitable are actually preventable. And I made a decision. I think I want to eat this way. And so by lunchtime, I thought, well, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure I better go ahead and start eating this plant-based diet, which seemed really, really radical. And of course, you asked about what I ate before then. Well, I definitely ate standard American diet. I mean, I knew what healthy eating was, more or less, the way most Americans do. But, you know, I ate whatever was in front of me. I ate a convenience diet. I ate out a lot. I didn't know how to cook. And so just leftovers or what people gave me, or, you know, whatever simple foods I could put together. It was just the usual processed animal food type foods. I like vegetables too, and salads, but, you know, lots of ranch dressing and all the good stuff. And I had tried to lose weight, because eventually I got to the point where I was actually diagnosed obese, and I thought, well, I better stop eating so much. And so I tried for about, I think it was about 6 or 7 years to lose 20, 25 pounds, but I still had, you know, 20, 25 pounds left. So that day for lunch, I had 2 pieces of corn on the cob. And I was so proud of myself because I ate them without butter. And I thought, oh, this is not too hard. This is, that was actually delicious. That didn't last long, because by dinner time, I was convinced I really wanted to go whole food, plant-based, because by this time I'd read even more research. And but by the time it got to dinner, I realized I had no idea what to eat. And so this began kind of an interesting period of my life where I was totally excited about whole food, plant-based. I mean, I felt in my heart, this is really the way to go. But because I had zero cooking skills and not very creative, I really didn't know how to eat and what to do. And so I struggled for the first long while trying to figure it out. But that's how I got my start. I saw that. I immediately got the China study from my mother, and I read that. I was convinced anymore. I just spent all the extra time I had researching about whole food, plant-based nutrition. And the more I read, the happier I got. I mean, I just was filled with joy and light. I thought, this is really something else. I mean, this is not only addresses our physical health, but addresses environmental issues and care for animals and even spiritual issues. And you asked about the word of wisdom. I mean, right away I thought to myself, you know, this sounds a little bit like, could it be? What does the word of wisdom say about this? And so I got out my Doctrine and Covenants. I don't know if it's that same day or the next day, but certainly that weekend. This is on a Saturday morning. And I read the word wisdom and I thought, there it is. There it is. Yes, of course. And with God's backing, I thought, I'm just going to go into this whole hog. So even though I was not enjoying my food, and I didn't know how to cook, I just thought, I'm not going to give up. I'm really going to give this a go.
Oh my goodness. I love that. And what you said something when you said you were going to watch that show, and you thought at first it sounded radical, and then you thought, but no, I'm just going to go ahead and listen. And I think that that is something that's so powerful, because the noise of nutrition in our world is so loud, and it's so hard to know what's radical, right? Or what's like, we're just told so many different things that to drown out the noise and to really be able to see clearly of what we should eat, right, it's not easy to do. I mean, I spent so much time on the altar of weight loss asking God what I should be eating, he'd already told me. I just wasn't listening. And so you just get told so much, and we're all so quick to ask the person at the gym how they lost weight, or ask someone, we're just quick to ask everyone, even doctors, but we're so slow to like open the scriptures and see. So I love that the day after you like started seeing the light and you're like, wait, this sounds like something. And then you went right to your scriptures. That was the same for me. I started having doctors tell me I could heal my insulin resistance through eating whole foods. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That sounds like something. And then I, of course, went to the Word of Wisdom and thought, oh my goodness, he's been trying to tell me this my whole life. And I really thought, wait, was this here before? Like, is this what it's always said? So yeah, I love that you didn't enjoy your food at first, because I think that that is the case for many people. And I think that, of course, because they've hijacked our taste buds, right, with the standard American diet, that takes time. And then there is a learning curve. I think that you're going to offer people so much inspiration today of, oh, it gets better. I'm going to learn how to cook this way. I'm going to figure this out. I don't have to give up because I'm not enjoying it. Because I would say today you enjoy your food, I would think. Right?
Yeah. I actually love that part of my journey. I didn't love it at the time, Tricia. I really didn't love it. I kept talking to God, and I said to God, I know this is the way I should be eating. I read the research. I'm really convinced. I've read the Word of Wisdom. But Heavenly Father, I don't like how it tastes. And how can I live the rest of my life and not enjoy my food? And yeah, I was so frustrated. Like I felt miserable about the food part. On the one hand, I felt so joyful about the diet, this way of eating. On the other hand, the food part was just, it was just not what I wanted to be. And so this went on day after day, and I was busy working. So I was asking people for advice, but frankly, I wasn't following their advice because I didn't have time to make all these recipes. And so I was just kind of winging it. And then the worst part was about a month into it, my weight loss stalled. And I thought, what's going on here? So I did a little research. And for my research, for myself, my own journey, I decided it was the smoothies I was eating. There's many ways to make smoothies, but my smoothies had a lot of fruit in them, and they were delicious. In fact, they were my favorite thing. They're my favorite part of the diet, but I decided, that I just made it too easy to down a whole bunch of calories at once. And so I thought, you know what? I think I need to cut out these smoothies. And that really made me mad, because again, this was like my favorite part of the diet.
That was like your joy.
That was my joy, but I was determined to, do the diet the best way I could. And I also wanted to lose weight, another 20, 25 pounds. So I cut out the smoothies and started losing weight again. But again, I wasn't really enjoying my food all that much. And for example, I remember once I just had I went to downtown Salt Lake City. I live in Provo, and there's a Whole Foods market. And I went in there and I went to the food buffet, and it was like you finding my Word of Wisdom group. It's like, these are my people. Like I could see all the whole food plant-based experts, their books were like literally on a shelf above the buffet. And there's all these whole foods. And I just piled it up, this wonderful salad I was going to have. And they had not just one, not just two, but like three or four or five even whole food plant-based dressings. I thought, this is going to be wonderful. Finally, I'll get some foods that I like. So they had the little takeout cups, and I put a different one, different dressing in each of the different cups. I went, sat at my table. I tried the first one. Yuck. I tried the second one. Yuck. I tried all of them. Yuck, 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 yuck. I really did not enjoy that salad. I didn't. And I was not happy. I kind of felt like everybody let me down. But I took those cups, and I put the lids on them, and I thought, I'll just take them home. And I remember getting on Facebook at McDougal website, people are trying to help me there. And I said, what should I do? And someone said, well, if you can't find dressing you like, just give up salads for now. I thought, that's ridiculous. Come on. That's one of the foods I love, and they're so healthy for you. But I thought, she's right. I'll just give them up for now. So I did. And again, this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And finally it got to a certain point. It was about now looking back, I realize it was only like less than 2 months, 7 or 8 weeks. At the time, it felt like forever, but it was really only 7 or 8 weeks. And my taste buds had changed by then. And suddenly everything started tasting really good. And it started being easy and it started being fun. And I remember making a salad. I'm going to try those salad dressing again. I'd kept them. They were still in my refrigerator. I got them out. And guess what?
They were good.
Every single one of them.
Wow.
I enjoyed to more or less degree. So, you know, the reason I love that story, Tricia, is because now I spend a lot of time helping other people their diet. And I'm really glad it wasn't just super easy for me right off the bat, because already I'm a little different because I went cold turkey that same day. I did a complete 180 degree turnaround. But I'm glad I had that struggle. And I did struggle. And I genuinely had a hard time enjoying the food. And I had that experience. My taste buds changing. And I can say now I love my food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day.
That's awesome. Now, what I saw you make a comment on one of the feeds in your group, and you said that you eat the same breakfast every day. Is that you? Do you eat the same breakfast every day?
I'm very boring. I'm very busy. One thing.
Well, are you boring, or is that just what happens when you make your food simple? All of a sudden, you don't need to be entertained by your food all the time, right?
I like being somewhat entertained. It really is more about I don't mind routine for myself. Other people are different. And it's just easier to make the same thing every day. And during this, I was just going to say, during this pandemic, I actually have been doing a lot more cooking. And so I've even made like pancakes and some other things. But normally I just have steel cut oats every morning.
And we want to know what you put in your steel cut oats. We know you're not eating them plain. Or do you eat them? I'd be shocked if you eat them plain.
I put one whole banana in there. It's been frozen. And I put it in there. I cook it with them. And then I put some type of whole fruit. So it could be an apple. It could be watermelon. I love that on there.
Oh, that's interesting.
I really enjoy that. Blueberries. Lately I've been eating blackberries, strawberries, and pineapple. So just kind of some type of whole fruit. And then I'll put a soy milk. Usually I make my own soy milk, but lately I haven't even been adding soy milk. It's been, you know, the consistency has been good enough. So I love that every morning. In fact, to tell the truth, before I go to bed at night, I'm just looking forward to my steel cut oats in the morning.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I haven't found the perfect concoction that makes it feel like, ooh, I'm super excited about that. But I have, that's in my rotation. So I love the steel cut oats. And now Costco has this like cook in 7 minutes or something. They're fantastic. So that's all even better. So tell me so you figure out, I'm going to eat this way. Food finally starts tasting good. And then how do you decide, and now I should write a book?
Good question. Well, what happened was I continued to do research. I like to learn, and I did a lot of research, and I read a lot of books. Most of the information is free online, so I really love that about this way of eating. But I did get a few books, usually used books, and I read those. And I continued to search in the Word of Wisdom. And a big part of my journey was, from the very first day, and I mean that Saturday that I watched that CNN show, I was so filled with joy of discovering this way of eating that I started immediately sharing it with a lot of other people. So, for example, that show, The Last Heart Attack, that was a preview for the show. So I emailed a lot of people and told them, I just saw this preview. You got to watch the show when it comes on. And from that day forward, I just kept emailing people or talking to them in person. And because I live in Provo, Utah, I work at Brigham Young University. Most of the people I'm associating with are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so it was normal when I talked to them that people would bring up the Word of Wisdom. And it's not something that I normally would bring up, because I felt like that sounded maybe a little pushy to tell people this is the Word of Wisdom. And I didn't really see it that way necessarily. But as I described this way of eating and described my joy, people would often bring up this subject. Well, you know, what about the scriptures? Or what about the Word of Wisdom? And they would ask me questions. And because I was emailing people too. They'd often ask me questions via email. So I started to, you know, write my replies to them, and people asked more and more questions. And so I thought I better just have kind of standard text I can send some people. And as I lengthened my response, I thought, well, I need to maybe write a short little paper on this so I can just give this to people. Then that will answer their questions. So I did that. And once I did that and shared with a few people, they said, well, you should write a book about this. And a book was the last thing I ever thought of writing. A book sounded like a lot of work. I'm not very interested in work. And it just sound, I'm not necessarily someone who loves to write. So I thought, I don't know. But the more I started working on this project, the more it kind of caught on. I thought, you know, maybe this will work into a book. And so I just found the joy in it. It's just like eating this way of eating was filled with joy. So writing the book, I started getting insights. And you know, looking back, Tricia, you talked about, you know, how I stopped to listen to that show, even though it sounded strange. I feel convinced now this is just a little job that Heavenly Father gave me to do. And he saw that I had the time, that I'd have the ability with his help to do it. And so he made it joyful, and it was a joy-filled project. I just really, really enjoyed writing that book, and it was a blessing.
Well, and it's helped so many people, because I think when people start figuring things out, you really feel like I said when we started the podcast, you feel like, okay, am I the first person that's like connected this? and to be able to like when I got your book and I just poured through it, it just felt like, oh my gosh, she's saying all the things that I would think. And then to have all of the references there, and all of I don't know, if you haven't read Jane's book, you should, because she just connects all the dots, and it's so much good stuff. And I actually, preparing for this interview, I pulled the book out again and started, you know, looking through it again, and I'm like, oh, I've just got to read this all over again. There's so much good stuff in there. And as you go through your journey, what I'm figuring out is, once you know, you know. So even if like a person is struggling, I feel like once the spirit kind of testifies to you that this is the path, it's just the case where, I don't know, I've just hopped diet so much in my lifetime that this just feels so different. This just feels like, okay, I finally have what God's been trying to show me, and I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to keep doing, and I might not be perfect, but I'm going to keep, you know, because the whole food plant-based lifestyle is a pretty high order when you start out with the sad diet, right? Like, and so you need his help to get there, because you are going against your culture, and the way we eat is a big part of, you know, life. It's part of it. So when I asked my listeners to send in some questions, that's one of the things that, one of the questions that they actually asked was, in this process, have you ever been afraid of food? How do you handle going to parties and eating out? Like, we all want to know how you do that, Jane.
I don't know what it means to be afraid of food. What does that mean?
I think that we like what happens is we start being in a place where, well, I know who the person that asked this question, and her husband had a heart attack. So I think that she's feeling like, we have got to do this perfect, or he's going to have a heart attack again. So I think that that's where this person's, you know, idea is kind of coming from. But I would think when people start categorizing as good, bad, and good food and bad food, I think that that's where you almost feel paralyzed. Well, what do I eat? Really, in the beginning, I would think is, when you really think, well, if I'm not eating dairy and I'm not eating oil and I'm not eating meat, what am I going to eat? Right. And then, you know, was that ever paralyzing to you? I mean, I know you ate your, you know, your corn.
I had no idea what to eat. I can't say that I was afraid of food. I'm a highly disciplined person. And once I decided to eat this way, I just decided to eat this way. And of course, once I wrote the book, how could I do otherwise?
I'm committed.
I mean, that's not really the main reason. The main reason was, I was convinced, like you said, I had a testimony that this was the right thing for me. I'm highly disciplined, so I did it. So I'm not afraid of food. I think more the fear is, and I think this is a fear a lot of people struggle with. I think it's the most, in the end, it's the most difficult part of the diet. Yeah, at first you don't know what to cook and your taste buds are not adjusted, but those things get resolved rather easily. But the difficult part is that we're afraid of what other people are thinking about us. I think that is really the serious issue. And I have faced that definitely in a couple of different ways that were significant for me. One is my best friend, who kind of more or less joined the diet with me. She was the one that had the show on that Saturday morning, the TV on. But she loved to go out to eat. And when at first I just wanted to make her happy and just let's go out and have a fun time. But it was not that simple anymore to go out to eat. And I could see the disappointment in her eyes. And I just felt, I felt awful. And then the other experience I had was I remember the very first Thanksgiving. I went Whole Food Plant-Based in August. And Thanksgiving, I remember going home. I didn't prepare anything. Everyone was cooking. And I thought, oh my heavens, everyone's going to have this wonderful food. They're going to look over my plate and they're going to feel so sorry for me because they see hardly anything on there. But as time went on, you know, one brother said, I'm going to make a special salad for you. Another sister said, I'm going to cook these vegetables separately in the oven for you so they won't have the oil on them. And another person had done this and that worked for me. And so, you know, by the time it got to the actual dinner, I had a plate full of lots of food. And the fact is, nobody cared what was on my plate. They wouldn't have cared anyways.
They're just worried what's on their plates. That's all they care about.
They're just shoveling the food into their mouths.
What they want to eat. Yeah. Just
I love my food. Yeah. But that day while we were cooking, I'm just saying I felt the pain.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people feel that.
Absolutely.
So in terms of going out to parties or out to eat, it's pretty simple now. I just check what's going to be there. And depending on what's going to be available, I may eat beforehand. But the main thing is I'm not as sensitive as some people are to how other people think about me. I'm pretty brave. And so I've just learned other people really don't care. They care that you're happy, that you're talking with them and you're smiling and you're just doing fine. They don't care about the food so much. So it hasn't been too much of a problem.
That's wonderful. Well, and I think that if we can just remember that they're just really worried about them. And as long as I feel like I want to vomit all my knowledge on everyone. And, you know, and that's what I have to rein in is I have to be like, they don't want me telling them that they don't need that meat. They don't want to hear that. So I think the key comes in knowing when to share and when to not share. And I've had to learn.
Yeah.
Process.
Yeah. Most people do.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay. So the next question is, when our family went to more of a plant-based diet, my grocery budget went up by 30%. Any tips for saving money? What would you say to someone who says this way of eating is expensive?
Well, actually, one of the things I love about this way of eating is that it can be extremely inexpensive. And to me, that is actually a telling sign of the truth of this way of eating, because I don't think Heavenly Father's ideal food would only be available to the most wealthy or to those who are better off eating. I mean, he needs to feed all of his children on this earth. And while it is true that you can spend any amount of money you want on this way of eating, it doesn't have to be. And the key is, I mean, if someone's food bill went up 30%, they may be buying, you know, kind of specialty plant foods. And in particular, for most whole food plant-based experts, eating organic is not the key to the best of health. And some organic plant foods, depending on where you live and what you're buying, can be very expensive. And some specialty type of foods can be more expensive. But if you're buying the basic rice, beans, potatoes, you know, you're getting vegetables in season, so they're relatively inexpensive. You're not going for the exotic ones. You're buying them at, you know, Maybe you're buying them at the Mexican grocery store. Sometimes they're less expensive. I don't know. You can do it relatively inexpensively. And in fact, it's much cheaper overall than a standard American diet because rice, beans, potatoes cost less than meat, cost less than animal foods or processed foods. And not only does the food potentially cost less, but you're saving a heck of a lot in future medical bills and time off of work because you're sick. And so overall, you're going to be saving a dramatic amount of money. And I have some resources on my website, discoveringthewordofwisdom.com. If you go there and you go to, there's a menu called Q&As, and you click on that, then you'll see topics A through Z. And if you click on that, and you can search for save money or go down to the S's, I think, then you'll see a lot of other resources for saving money written by experts that can teach you how to save money doing this type of diet.
Oh, that's awesome. What a great resource. I found for me, if I try to make my whole food plant-based food look like our old food, and I try to buy all the things to try to like make all the things, and I'm always trying to create that old way of eating so that our meals look that way, that is an expensive way to eat. Where I had to learn a meal can be rice and beans and vegetables. Like that can be a meal. And but that I mean, even my family didn't think that was a meal when I would make that, you know, like there's a learning curve to what plant-based eating is in the sense of I do more one pot foods, like one pot goulash, one pot chili, one pot soup, you know, like we're not having all the sides and all the, you know, you kind of have to have a, for me, there was a switch in what eating looks like. And that made a world of difference. Now I'm just really going to the store, stocking up on fruits and vegetables, and then all my grains are just home and bought in bulk. And so once I figured that out, that helped. So, all right. So the next one, what would you say? It says, any advice for those whose spouses and or kids that interpret the word of wisdom differently than they do? So like I've run into this. I have married kids. Not everybody interprets it like me. What would you say about that?
Well, what a great opportunity to not only be a good example of understanding the word of wisdom, but also a good example of gospel living. The number one commandment is love, you know, love of God, love of our neighbor. I feel like we do people such a great service when we show them utter respect for their interpretations, the way they think about things. Our first and foremost focus should be on ourselves. If we think we want to interpret the word of wisdom from a whole food plant-based perspective, that's a job in and of itself. You know, focusing on ourselves, our own understanding, trying to change the way we eat, and at the same time, making it pretty clear to everyone around us, and I'll make one exception, and that exception is young children, who I think shouldn't get a choice in the matter. But, you know, older children, definitely a spouse, other friends and family, making it clear right off the bat, this is something I'm doing for myself. This is kind of experiment. And I don't expect you to change your diet at all. In fact, whatever you're doing, I think that's great. I'm going to support you in what you're doing. And would you mind supporting me? And because this is kind of hard for me, and I just kind of want to see if it's how good it is. So the least threatening you can be, the least threatening you can be, the most loving and respectful you can be, you create a space in which people can think differently. Because when you try to convince somebody else or change someone's point of view or try to argue your position, what you're doing is you're creating a wall of defense and people are trying to think about how is what they're saying wrong. And I feel defensive and I just have to prove that they're wrong. It just closes down the space. So I think we do a world of good if we just treat people with respect and let them know we're happy with whatever way they interpret the word of wisdom. That's great for them, but this is how I'm looking at it. I just want to try this.
I love that. I wish I would have had that advice when I first switched. I really just wanted to tell everyone, and I thought everyone was going to think about it like I do. And it did not go that way. As much as I wanted it to. And I've noticed how, so when people will join your Facebook group, they've kind of like thinking, oh, I want to live more of the Word of Wisdom, but they haven't really made that connection of whole food, plant-based foods. And they'll find your group and they'll join. And then they get real, like sometimes the people in the group want to be like, they'll share a recipe and they'll be like, hey, well, you know, we're not eating meat in this group or whatever. And, but I see you come on and you always talk to those new people who are in a place of discovery, right? With such love, and you're never harsh with them or like setting them straight or any of that. You just, anyway, I've just appreciated, because online is not always this nicest place, and whole food plant-based people get really like pegged into a, they decide things for people and they get really strict about it. And I just have watched you be so loving to people and so like giving them space to like figure it out and to get there. And anyway, I've appreciated that in that online community, because, you know, everyone's, and that's how I feel about my kids. They have to figure it out. I can't do it for them. Mm-hmm. And so even my teenagers, they have to figure it out. I buy all the good food, but they still eat all the other things sometimes. And I just have to decide, they'll figure it out. It's their thing, not mine, that they have to do. All right. Well, I actually had some questions. Those were, those questions that we just covered were for some, from some listeners. But one of the things I, that has been on my mind a lot, and I even posted it in your group to, so we could kind of chat about it, but I would love to hear your thoughts. Elder Cook, in, who is one of our church leaders, Jane and I are part of the same faith, as you can tell, because we're talking about the Word of Wisdom, but Elder Cook is one of our church leaders, and he gave a talk in 2003, and the talk is Looking Beyond the Mark. And in that talk, he says, certain members have wanted to add substantially to various doctrines. And then he uses this as the example. He says, an example might be when we, when one advocates additions to the Word of Wisdom that are not authorized by the brethren and proselytes others to adopt these interpretations. If we turn a health law or any other principle into a form of religious fanaticism, we are looking beyond the mark. I want to hear your thoughts about that.
Well, I think he makes a really important point, and that is, what is the mark? You know, why do we want to have a healthy body? This goes back to what I call the doctrine of the Word of Wisdom. And there's many elements, but one element is our body is literally a temple. It is a house of the Spirit of God. It is holy. And we want to treat it as such. But our body as a temple is not something we worship. We worship the God that dwells in our body. We worship our Savior. He is the mark. And I think Elder Cook, in both this address, and he gave a very similar one again in 2016, talking on the same topic and quoting the same words, we don't want to take our eyes off the mark. And so it's distressing to me when I see people like hitting people over the head with the Word of Wisdom. I mean, this is to me a little bit missing the mark. The point of the gospel is love and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the other things are just means to get there. And that's so important for us to understand. Then the other point is that the Word of Wisdom, I think the Lord in his wisdom and our church leaders in their wisdom, they've made it very simple for us, and they've left a lot up to our own interpretation. We're not living under the law of Moses, where we're told exactly what to do and what not to do for any of the commandments. Even the most important ones, when you think about the most important commandment, to love God with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength, are there a long list of do's and don'ts that our church leaders give us on that, or loving our neighbors, ourselves? Are we told exactly how to do that? Even the most important commandments, we're not told in great detail. We're taught correct principles, and we need to figure it out for ourselves. So same with the Word of Wisdom. We're given some basics. I think God decided to make it a little easier for us by spelling it out, no alcohol, tobacco, coffee, and tea. But, you know, those are just really, you know, those are some simple things. But there's some other things in the Word of Wisdom, and the church has also said the Word of Wisdom encourages a healthy diet. But it just doesn't spell it out. It leaves it to us, because we're all on a very different journey. We live in different places of the world. The Word of Wisdom does not forbid the use of meat or other animal foods. It doesn't forbid the use of processed foods, for that matter. It wants us to eat a healthy body, wants us to have a healthy body, and it gives us some principles. But in terms of how we interpret that, that really depends on where we are in our journey, in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and how fervently we seek for inspiration for that particular commandment. At the same time, other people may be fervently seeking for interpretation, help from God for how to do family history, or how to do service, or how to help immigrant families or whatever. There's so many ways that we can, for how we can go deeper into the gospel. And the church is not about giving us lists of do's and don'ts. It's about principles that allows us to figure out what that means for us personally. So I think it's really important that we not go beyond the mark and say, this is how the Lord thinks about the word of wisdom, and all you should do this, or if you don't, you're not obeying this commandment. This is just really going beyond the mark.
Yeah, and what I think is so powerful, that, and you even talk about this in your book, when you said, I didn't start eating this way and even care about animals. I didn't care about that one bit. But now I feel like I have this love of animals that have grown, and more awareness of God's creatures, and I literally feel like I'm filled with more love than I had before. And so I feel like it's like any other principle of the gospel. When you start having a testimony of it, God adds upon that for you. Mm-hmm. And so, and that is going to happen here. I think for me, I'm a little bit like you in the sense, Jane, that I just don't do something halfway. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. and so it is for me, it is part of my religion. So when I read that, because it's part of my testimony now, I think, am I overdoing it? But then I love how you explained it, where, we're not making anybody do anything. We're just sharing what we found that's blessed us. And then, of course, we want to share that with others. So powerful stuff. So you kind of answered this a little bit, but why don't you think, ever since I went plant-based, it bugs me a little bit. I think, why don't the brethren just stand up and talk about the do's a little bit and just put it out there in the world? Why don't you think they do that? Because I think that members of the church would fall in line quickly. They would be like, oh, you really meant that about the meat? Oh, okay. But that's not how they do it. Like you said, they spell out the things that we are not to partake of, right? The clear don'ts. But the do's is a little, that's left to our interpretation. Why do you, you've answered a little bit, but do you have any more to say about that piece of it?
Well, let me ask this question. Do you think if the brethren got up and spelled out the do's of loving our neighbor, that the church would say, oh, okay, I get it. You want us to really do this. Okay, I'm just going to do this.
That's true.
It's
not
just
so much. It's the
that's
same.
Just, yeah. That's a very idealistic view of how seemingly simple it is just to change your diet, for example. I mean, people are extremely protective of their diet. I remember a friend of mine told me that when President Kimball got up in General Conference and said, don't shoot the little birdies, they got this massive amount of mail into Salt Lake City saying, I'm going to give up my temple recommend before I give up my hunting license. People feel very strongly about certain things, and it's just not that easy for the brethren to stand up and say, et cetera, beyond the fact that I actually don't think the brethren have thought about the word of wisdom this way. I mean, they're on their own journey to their own orientation. They don't even, most of them probably don't even cook. They depend on other people to cook for them. I certainly think President Nelson's diet is a little closer to this, but, I don't think it's 100% whole food plant-based by any means. So the fact is, if the Lord wanted it spelled out, he could have spelled it. Spread the doctrine comes before. This interpretation did not jump out at us. It's just not the Lord's way to spell things out. It's not the church's way. They're moving more and more away from that. It's more and more principle-based. Even the keeping the Sabbath day holy. When we were children, we were given lists of do's and don'ts. But now we're taught the principle. And that's beautiful. That we should... we should keep the Sabbath day as a sign of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. How beautiful is that? You know, it's just not something that's supposed to be spelled out as an individual. And I think that's the Lord's way. And there's great, great beauty and respect in that.
Yeah. What do you think when sometimes there's been a couple talks and they talk about moderation? People love to talk to me about moderation. What are your thoughts on moderation?
Well, I think moderation can be a good principle for some things, but for a lot of things, it's not a very good principle. So I don't find it very useful in terms of the word of wisdom, because we don't need a moderate amount of, we don't use a moderate amount of alcohol, tobacco, coffee, and tea. That's not what the word of wisdom says. And
oh,
I don't
true.
Think it indicates a moderate amount of junk food, or even, it doesn't even say eat a moderate amount of meat. It says sparingly. Mm-hmm. And then it says preferably only in times of winter, cold, and famine. So I just don't think the idea of moderate is that helpful, but nevertheless, I'm just not militant about it. You know, for some people, moderation would be a great step forward in their diet. And so if that's a step forward, that's wonderful. You know, I'm all for people reading the word of wisdom and they getting one inspiration about something they could do better. I do whatever they feel like would be helpful. Then the next time they read it, they'll get another inspiration. They'll continue line upon line, precept upon precept.
Yeah, I love that. I'd love for you to share your thoughts about the destroying angel and the promise given in the word of wisdom. Like, what's your interpretation of that for our time?
Well, this is not something I've done a lot of research on, but let me preface this by saying, when I changed my diet to this radical way of eating, I thought nobody else is going to want to do this. I mean, I really had no hopes, Tricia. In my mind, I thought, well, maybe I'll come across some old people who just got diagnosed with some illness, and they're really going to want to know the answer.
And I will be there for them.
And I was very naive. So I was shocked, interested. I learned about this 2011. I published my book the end of 2013. I thought maybe it'll sell 200 to 300 copies. Well, now it's sold over 12,000 copies.
Wow.
That's amazing. A lot of people are interested, and they were not the old people who just got diagnosed with a chronic disease. Those are the last people interested. They're so scared that they're doing whatever the doctor told them to do. And so, but people, even young people, I've been surprised, healthy BYU students, they want to avoid these chronic diseases that they see families. And we see this in our wards. We see people who are felled by these chronic diseases. And is this not, it's not the whole aspect of the destroying angel, but is this not, you know, one example, the destroying angel against us? And we're seeing people fall left and right, diabetes and heart disease and strokes and all kinds of, you know, diseases. And these diseases are largely preventable. And so to me, that's one interpretation. It's not the only one, because I think there's a deeper spiritual meaning that's even more important. But I certainly do think that if we follow the wisdom in Doctrine and Covenants 89, that this particular destroying angel will pass us by.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So that brings me to my next question, and that is, just as we're recording this podcast, we're still, our nation's still dealing with COVID-19. Today, actually, we all learned that our president even has, President Trump has COVID-19. What have been your thoughts during this pandemic about health and the condition of most Americans' bodies? You know, the risk was pretty high for Americans just because, you know, everybody's insulin resistant, you know, we have a huge population of insulin resistance in America. And, you know, and they're saying that certain conditions made it so that, you know, COVID-19 could be deadly. What have been your thoughts through this pandemic? I would love to hear that.
Well, right off the bat, maybe three things come up. Number one, of course, and it's so important, I don't think the point can be made more strongly, we could have prevented this whole pandemic if we had all been eating whole food, plant-based. We know that this disease, two-thirds of infectious diseases is zoonotic. That means it originates in animals, COVID-19. Mm-hmm. It comes from hunting and capturing and processing, this, in this case, wild animals, but sometimes they're not wild animals. But zoonotic, two-thirds of infectious diseases. Infectious diseases kill, you know, about 25% of global deaths. And even more, these emerging pathogens, about 75% of them are zoonotic. Most of these infectious diseases throughout history have come from animals. And we don't solve every problem by not eating animals, but this is one, and this whole COVID-19 would have not even been a problem if we had just leave animals alone when we don't need them. So I think that is really, really important because, Tricia, this is not the last time we're going to see a zoonotic disease escape out into the world. And the next one may be much, much more deadly. We've had a number of them in the past, you know, however many years, and even farther back. I mean, these, just the plague and everything, is just, there's, to me, I just think this, when we don't need animal foods, and it's such a simple solution to just not eat animal foods, and we could have solved this whole problem. So that's number one. Two, we realize that those who are healthy normally survive the disease just fine. In fact, that was going to be maybe the third point I brought up. All along with this particular pandemic, I've been so concerned about the poor countries. I think we've barely survived. We don't have the PPE even to take care of us. What about these poor countries in Africa and all over the world? What are they going to do? And so it's been really to see that it actually, you know, the success of a country actually does not depend on their wealth. And part of it is the health of a country. And some of these people in Africa, they eat a more plant-based diet. I mean, unfortunately, they're eating more like us now, but a lot of them have to rely on less expensive foods, which are the more plant-based foods, the starch foods, et cetera. And they're actually faring better than we are in terms of their morbidity rate. In America, we're a very unhealthy country, and that's part of the reason our death rate has been so high from this disease. We have these underlying diseases, and underlying diseases are the very ones that are prevented, where the destroying angel could pass us by if we ate a whole food plant-based diet. And so, again, if we eat animal foods, but we had a healthy body, you know, we just wouldn't see the death and destruction that we're experiencing. So that's really another huge part for me. I just think, but that's the way of it, isn't it, Tricia? I mean, every principle of the gospel, we see how much happiness it would bring if everyone in the world lived that principle of the gospel, and how much destruction and havoc is wrought because people are ignoring this counsel from God.
Well, and don't you find it fascinating, Jane, that like the news doesn't cover the connection with animals? Like, you and I know this because we're familiar with Dr. Greger's work, and you know, like, for the world, for the most part, they think, oh, it came from a bat from China, like, you know, that's so weird and rare, but they don't understand the connection between animals and disease for us. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in this pandemic, it should have been brought to light, and it just has not.
Like, yeah, well, it has been written about, but people, they think, well, we've got to eat, or they just don't want to hear
that's
it.
True.
I mean, even very wise people, and that's just the way it is for in this case, but each of us, myself included, we really don't want to hear something that really goes against something that we really feel strongly about. So
that's true.
But
yes, and we're all very concerned in America with our protein, so that would not even make sense.
Right, we gotta have protein.
Right?
Oh,
yes,
so what about the protein?
That's right. Well, Jane, I'm so glad that you jumped on and visited with me today, and it just felt like I was talking to a longtime friend, so I just really enjoyed it.
So I enjoyed it too. Thank you.
One thing I didn't tell you that I ask every guest that comes on is I love to ask you at the end of our interview, our time together, tell me one thing that you just really love about yourself. I think as women, we don't say that. We don't ever acknowledge things that we love about ourselves. So I love to do that on the podcast. And I know I don't tell you that, and then you have to think of something quickly, but
Well, I have to say, the topic of love of self. We are holy beings. We are literal children of God. If we only believe that, Tricia, what a difference it would be. I am so grateful that I am a child of God. I see myself as holy. I'm grateful I'm part of the world, the real world of godly things happening. All the children of God interacting with each other, learning from each other, a world of a beauty, a world of challenge, a world of great poetry, literature, music. I feel an integral part of a beautiful world that's designed by a loving Heavenly Father to help us return to Him. And so I feel to be me, and I really feel strongly about helping other people to love who they are, because we're all in this together, in this beautiful, difficult, challenging situation. And howdy, it's hard to be a human being. It's really, really hard. And one of the reasons it's hard is we're down on ourselves. We're critical of ourselves. And the reason we are is because that is the way our body is taught us. It's the same reason why we eat a standard American diet. That's the way we've been raised. That's what we've been taught. Learn to love ourselves, because we're taught by our culture, and it makes it so hard to be a human being. And it's already a challenge to be a human being. And I'm sorry, I'm going on and on, but I feel strongly about it.
No, I love it.
One thing I love about myself is I love to learn, and I particularly love spiritual knowledge, understanding, and seeking after wisdom from God. And so maybe I'll conclude with that.
I love that. And I'm so grateful that you have a love of knowledge, because I just feel so blessed from your desire to learn and act on your feelings about eating a plant-based diet, and then act on those feelings you had to write a book, and the support you've been to me. And I just know that so many people have that gratitude in their hearts for you, that you made, you know, you wrapped it up with a bow, basically. You're like, oh yes, this is what it is. And it's just been a blessing to so many of us. So thank you so much. Now, everyone listening, if you would like to, if you have not read Jane's book, I'm going to tell you the name again. It's Discovering the Word of Wisdom, Surprising Insights from a Whole Food Plant-Based Perspective. You can buy that on Amazon. You can go to her. She has a website. Tell them what your website is called, Jane.
DiscoveringTheWordWisdom.com.
Okay. And there's, you can go on there. And I think, is that where you put people's stories?
Yes.
On there?
Right. We got like well over 200 stories of Latter-day Saints eating whole food, plant-based nutrition, including your story, Tricia, which I love.
Yes. Mine is there. So if you have a story, Jane just would love to have you write your story. And it just blesses other people. Because what happens is, you start eating this way, and then you think, I'm the only one doing it. And then you discover Jane and her Facebook presence, and then, you know, and her discovering the Word of Wisdom stories that she highlights, and you go, oh, I can do this. This is possible. And so if you need some encouragement, go to her website and start reading people's stories, because they're just everyday people who are choosing to eat plants every day, and they can do it. They did it, and you can do it. And and so, all right, everyone, I hope you enjoyed our interview today. And I just think that if you are probably feeling like I do, that Jane just makes you feel like this is possible, and that it's doable, and that if you'll just walk with some faith, wherever you're at in your journey, God will help you to keep going. All right, everyone, have a great day. Have a great day. Have a great day. We'll see you next time. A few things before you go. If you have found that you need help on your journey of taking amazing care of yourself and loving the space you take up in the world, please, I would love for you to come join us in my monthly membership coaching program called Breathe. Breathe is a place where like-minded women come together
and help one another. I help you by coaching you, and then I record that, and then other women will watch while you are helped, and then you watch other women when they're helped. And it's this community where women are helping women, and it's so beautiful. There's a lot of other perks when you're a Breathe member. So you receive coaching, you get to watch other women be coached, and then you also get to have access to any course that I provide. So right now, there's two courses in the membership. One is how to eat plant-based in 30 days without dieting. So if you're at the very beginning of your journey, that will help you so much. Now, if you're a little bit further along in your journey, you will probably love my course that is on self-care. And it's a self-care course that you take over 6 weeks. And it's a way for you to come home to yourself and start figuring out what does love feel like for you. And this is a course that I usually offer just to a group coaching program, but now it's also offered in Breathe. Something else you'll have is you'll have this community of support. There'll be a private Facebook group that you can check in with. And remember, you're going to be seeing these other women be coached. So you will get to be honestly their best friends. It will be a wonderful community. And you know, sometimes when we eat plant-based and we try to leave diet culture, it's a little bit lonely. So that will be a wonderful support for you. The last thing, I provide weekly meal plans. I'm trying to think of everything I can to make this process of you loving you and you loving the space you take up in the world and you taking amazing care of yourself to have all the tools for that. And one tool to simplify your life is a weekly meal plan with a grocery list. And that will also be available in Breathe. And all of that will be available on an easy app so that you can access it on your phone and you can, it can be very user friendly for you. So come join me in Breathe. You remember, nothing in your life has to change for everything to change. And that's the work we do in Breathe. Have you come up for air? Have you needed help to keep breathing? I got you. Come join us in Breathe. Have you downloaded my free commitment planner? Okay, if you haven't, you totally need to. It's such an easy way for you to make and keep commitments to yourself and honor those commitments. Go to my Instagram account, and in the links in bio, there is an option there to download that for free. Totally go get that. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. If you're feeling like you're missing episodes, it's probably because you're not subscribed. So whatever, wherever you listen, you just subscribe and then they will make sure that you don't miss an episode. Also, are you part of my free Facebook group? If you're not, you should be. Come on over, share recipes with us, and it's just a really diet culture free place to enjoy being online. And last of all, have you left me a review? Reviews are really important because that's how other people find the podcast, is through a review. So wherever you listen, go ahead and leave me a review there so other people can get the help that they need through the podcast. All right, y'all are the best. Have the best day. See you next time.